You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, several breaking stories as we come on the air. Authorities in Idaho and the murders of those four college students and what they've just revealed. Also, the plot to overthrow the German government. At least 25 arrests tonight and what we've learned. And in Georgia, the Democrat wins. Senator Raphael Warnock returning to Washington, D.C. today, elected to a full six-year term, defeating Herschel Walker by nearly 100,000 votes. President Biden becoming the first Democratic president in nearly 90 years to not lose a single seat in the Senate in a midterm, the first since FDR. Rachel Scott is live. There is breaking news involving former President Trump tonight. Sources confirming to ABC News more classified documents were in fact discovered after a federal judge told his lawyers to essentially look harder. Pierre Thomas with late reporting. That breaking headline moments ago in Idaho and the murders of those four college students, authorities now revealing what they are looking for. Tonight in Germany, that alleged plot to overthrow the German government, at least 25 arrests. And we have new reporting here. Who was behind this alarming coup attempt? A far-right extremist group and current members of the German military among those arrested. Back in the U.S. tonight, the major headline after that power sabotage in North Carolina. Two electric substations shot at, and what we learned about this case late today. We're also tracking several storms set to move right across the country. One could bring significant snow and winds from the west all the way to the east. And the massive pileup on the interstate, at least 12 semis and 18 cars involved. Rob Marciano timing all of this out. We have news on the RSV virus tonight and on the flu, hospitalizations rising. And the team in one emergency room telling us that some patients are waiting 12 hours in the ER just to be seen. Maria Villarreal reporting. The Florida lawmaker who sponsored the controversial Don't Say Gay bill tonight indicted on several charges. And Time magazine unveiling its Person of the Year. You will likely agree. And something that person told us, the message to everyone watching right here.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It is great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. We have several breaking stories, authorities in Idaho and the murders of those four college students and what they've just revealed, what they're now looking for. Our reporter standing by. And that plot to overthrow the German government, at least 25 arrests. They're also investigating current members of the German military. But we begin tonight here at home with Georgia. Democrat Raphael Warnock winning in the Senate runoff, beating Herschel Walker by nearly 100,000 votes. Senator Raphael Warnock celebrating overnight in Atlanta this afternoon, already back at work in Washington. Republican Herschel Walker saying he won't make any excuses for his defeat, saying, quote, we put up one heck of a fight. President Biden calling Senator Warnock to congratulate him overnight. Biden is now the first Democratic president in nearly 90 years to not lose a single seat in the Senate in a midterm. That's the first since FDR. ABC's Rachel Scott leading us off on Capitol Hill tonight.
Senator, how are you feeling?
Good. How are you?
Senator Raphael Warnock arriving back in Washington today. After voters in Georgia sent a clear message.
It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken.
Democrats taking a victory lap.
Georgia did it again.
After 1 year, 10 months, and 17 days of the longest 50-50 Senate in history, 51, yeah. A slim majority. That is great. And we are so happy about it.
President Biden, now the first Democratic president in nearly 90 years, the first since FDR, whose party did not lose a single Senate seat in a midterm election.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Go get
it. Make it easier for us to get some things done.
Sure, it will. I guarantee you it will.
For Republicans, Herschel Walker's loss, a bitter pill to swallow.
And I'm not going to make any excuses now because we put up one heck of a fight.
Walker underperformed in Georgia's Republican strongholds. His campaign plagued with one scandal after another. The football legend, the hand-picked choice of former President Donald Trump. Trump endorsed Senate candidates in Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Arizona, and Nevada all went down in defeat this year. Republican leaders increasingly frustrated.
An election year when it should have been a referendum on the current administration and their policies, the Democrats in many cases were able to kind of turn it into a choice election because of Trump's presence out there. So, was he a factor? I don't think there's any question about that.
Despite loss after loss for his candidates, Trump is now doubling down on the fringe, having dinner with anti-Semitic rapper Kanye West and white supremacist Nick Fuentes, even calling for parts of the Constitution to be terminated to overturn the 2020 election. And now ABC has learned that just last night, Trump welcomed some followers of the QAnon conspiracy theory to Mar-a-Lago.
You are incredible people.
To some Republicans, it all spells one thing.
And I know a lot of people in our party love the president, former president, but he's, if you will, the kiss of death for somebody who wants to win a general election.
Let's get right to Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill. She made the trip from Georgia back to Washington as well. And Rachel, before, as we all know, watching, it was a 50-50 tie in the Senate, of course, with Vice President Kamala Harris, the tie-breaking vote. Now Democrats have a 51-49 edge here, which sounds small, but it actually makes a real difference.
And President Biden knows that it will make a world of difference for his party. He called Senator Raphael Warnock to congratulate him on his victory. Democrats will now take majority on committees in the Senate, including the powerful Judiciary Committee, which will allow them to push through the president's judicial nominees much more quickly. And that's a big priority for the Biden administration, David.
Of course, Republicans controlling the House, Democrats holding on to the Senate. And here we go, another 2 years. Rachel, thank you. In the meantime, we turn to the breaking news tonight involving former President Trump. Sources confirming to ABC News more classified documents were in fact discovered after a federal judge told his lawyers to essentially look harder. It all comes after that raid at Mar-a-Lago. Let's bring in our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight. And Pierre, sources saying this came after a series of searches in recent weeks by the Trump team of Bedminster, Trump Tower, and other Trump properties.
David, it's been months since that raid, and they're still finding classified documents from the Trump presidency. Sources telling ABC News at least two additional documents marked classified were recently discovered at a government storage facility not far from Mar-a-Lago. This after hundreds had been recovered from former President Trump's Florida home last August. Sources tell us Trump's team found the documents after a federal judge privately told Trump's attorney to carefully search for more to make sure there were no other classified documents at any other properties associated with Trump. David, the significance of these documents is not clear, but this is the stunning thing. The discovery raises the prospect there could still be more classified documents out there. David?
Pierre Thomas with the late word in Washington for us tonight. Pierre, thank you. Now to the late news and the murders of those four students at the University of Idaho. Police moments ago saying they are now looking for a vehicle. So let's get to ABC's Mola Lenghi covering the case. And Mola, what are authorities now saying?
Well, David, late tonight, Moscow police announcing that they need the public's help in locating the occupants of a 2011 to 2013 Hyundai Elantra, like this one that you see pictured right here. Now, they're interested in talking to those occupants, but the license plate right now is still unknown. The vehicle is believed to have been in the area of the residence where the four students were killed during the early morning hours of November 13th. Now, all this comes as today, police removed the students' belongings from the house, belongings that are no longer needed in the investigation. Those items will be returned to their families, and the police chief saying that he hopes it will help with some of their healing, David.
Mola Lenghi with late news involving the University of Idaho and that investigation tonight. Mola, thank you. We turn now to the story making global headlines tonight, the plot to overthrow the German government. At least 25 arrests so far tonight, and they are also investigating members of the current German military. The images all day today, the sweeping raids and this alleged coup attempt, thousands of police and special forces making these arrests. Authorities say the plot involved a right-wing extremist group. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Berlin for us.
Tonight, a violent plot by far-right extremists influenced by QAnon ideology to overthrow the German government foiled, according to prosecutors. Some of those now reportedly under investigation, a former member of parliament, an active soldier, and multiple reservists. Germany launching one of its biggest counter-terrorism operations in living memory. Heavily armed officers raiding over 130 properties across the country, arresting over two dozen suspects, including people in Italy and Austria.
Prosecutors allege a network of armed, far-right extremists were planning to storm the German parliament, their aim to seize power.
Tonight, prosecutors say this German aristocrat, a key figure in the alleged plot.
They could have caused some real damage and killed people who are working there for our democracy, and that, I think, is very scary.
Far-right extremists infiltrating key German institutions is a growing problem. The government here identifying more than 320 cases in just 3 years. Authorities allege this group also believes that Germany is controlled by a type of deep state. This alleged plot eerily similar to the January 6th insurrection.
The events in Germany represent an alarming example of the danger facing democratic institutions across the globe.
David, one suspect arrested in the raids is a Russian national. Prosecutors say the group tried to contact Russian officials based here in Germany. The group allegedly planning to take over government ministries and create a new military organization, which it would then use to hold power after storming the parliament. David?
Just an extraordinary story unfolding in Germany tonight. Tom Sufi Burridge, Tom, thank you. Back here at home now, and to late word coming in today on movement in this investigation in North Carolina after that power grid sabotage. Federal authorities now filing search warrants. ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi in North Carolina again tonight for us.
Tonight, a law enforcement source investigating the attack on two electrical substations in Moore County, North Carolina, tells ABC News federal search warrants have been filed, but they did not say whether they were related to a person or people local to the area. The development comes as investigators tell ABC News they recovered shell casings at two sites located about 13 miles apart on either side of Moore County.
I think we're just days and moments and hours away from catching the culprit that did this tragedy.
The FBI releasing this new poster asking the public for help. Officials announcing a $75,000 reward for information leading to an arrest.
Every investigator working on this case, state, local and federal, know what you want, and that's answers.
And David, Duke Energy says they're just about finished restoring power. They expect to be done by tonight. Roughly 1,200 households remain. The curfew will be lifted tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., and schools will reopen Friday. David?
That's encouraging as we await more on these search warrants tonight. Mona, thank you. Next tonight, we are tracking several storm systems, two storms set to track west right across the country all the way east. One could be significant as it moves west to east. Already tonight, icy roads and fog causing this massive pileup. This is central Washington state here. At least 12 semis and 18 cars on I-90 near Ellensburg. Snow already in North Dakota causing accidents on I-29 and I-94 there in North Dakota. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking all of this for us tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. It is an unsettled and very messy weather pattern for so many. A lot of players on the map tonight. We'll go over the big ones as far as what's making weather. Double-headed system that's heading across the midsection of the country that'll push more rain and storms into the already saturated Mid-South, the Mississippi and Tennessee valleys. And then snow spreading across the Midwest and the Great Lakes, mostly north of Chicago, and really just a few inches. That'll bring some snow to the Northeast over the weekend. But the most powerful storm coming in over the weekend slams into the west, and that will bring heavier rain, wind, and mountain snow from Seattle all the way down to San Diego. We're talking about 2 to 5 feet of snow in the Sierra. That's the good news. The bad news is once it gets through the Rockies, it's going to cause problems for just about everybody east into the next week. David?
All right. Tracking it all week long for us, Rob. Thank you. Now to the so-called triple-demic sweeping across the country. Flu, COVID, RSV striking all ages now. In fact, 80% of the nation's hospital beds here in the U.S. are now full. Tonight, our team at one emergency room where patients there are waiting 12 hours just to be seen. ABC's Maria V. Rial from Texas tonight.
Tonight, health officials are warning that triple-demic of flu, RSV, and COVID is now hitting Americans of all ages. 80% of adult hospital beds are full, the highest peak since the Omicron surge.
We are seeing high rates of flu, higher than we've seen this time of year in over a decade.
COVID hospitalizations are surging too. The CDC director says Americans should consider masking and get their flu and COVID vaccines.
I want to live to be 87 instead of 67. You know. So that's why I'm here getting my shots.
And that triple whammy of viruses still straining pediatric hospitals like Cook Children's in Fort Worth, where bed space is scarce.
Right now in our emergency room, we have patients who have been waiting for 12 plus hours to be seen. Our hospital is full, our ICU is full, and that is scary because we know that there are sick kids out there.
The state of Nevada now fast-tracking licenses for nurses to handle a flood of pediatric patients. Lauren and Jason Taylor say they waited almost 24 hours in the ER for an open hospital bed for their daughter, who was sick with RSV, pneumonia, and a collapsed lung.
She had low oxygen, which they call hypoxia, and a fever, and they said that they needed to admit her right away.
18-month-old Kyra had just gotten over the flu when she had trouble breathing.
You can see the belly going up. You can hear the forced breathing. You can see the ribs coming out, and they call this seesaw breathing.
After 4 days in the hospital, Kyra's now home recovering.
David, just 40% of adults say they've gotten the flu shot. Health officials say they want to see that number much higher, but they understand there is vaccine fatigue right now. The problem is, they say, a perfect storm is brewing. People are taking off their masks, and also holiday travel is ramping up. So they are stressing right now. It is very important for you to get those vaccines. David?
Yeah, vaccine fatigue is understood, but they say the flu vaccine is very effective this year, so we'd like to see more people being protected. Maria, thank you. Meantime, to China now and their emergency involving COVID. Tonight, a dramatic rollback of those extreme zero COVID restrictions. But now they're going to face a new test. With COVID raging across China, a much different vaccination picture from the U.S. Here's Martha Raddatz on that.
Tonight, after years of extreme COVID lockdown, with shocking scenes like this of citizens pulled from their homes and forced into quarantine, China now easing COVID restrictions that prompted mass protests and plunged China's economy into dangerous territory. PCR tests will no longer be required for public transportation, airports, or shopping centers in major cities. Asymptomatic citizens or those with mild symptoms can stay home instead of being sent to government facilities. And entire neighborhoods can no longer be locked down because of COVID-positive cases. China's government announcing this move, claiming COVID is now less of a threat. But the economic pressures on the world's second-largest economy clearly played a role. Major corporations concerned over supply chain and production issues, with Apple reportedly accelerating plans to move its iPhone production out of China.
But there could be trouble ahead. Not only does China have low vaccination rates, but their vaccines are less effective than ours. So doctors are warning there could be a wave of COVID deaths in the coming months. David?
We'll be watching it closely. Martha, thank you. To Russia tonight, Vladimir Putin making news in the war in Ukraine in a televised address suggesting the fighting will go on for a long time, in his words, but in an attempt to ease tensions inside Russia, saying there is no reason for a new call-up of troops. Putin also saying, quote, the threat of nuclear war is growing, but adding Russia will not use nuclear weapons first, saying Russia looks at nukes precisely as a defense, in his words. When we come back here tonight, the Florida lawmaker who sponsored the controversial Don't Say Gay bill tonight indicted on several charges. And Time Magazine's Person of the Year, we think you'll agree with Time and something he said right here on this broadcast to everyone watching here in the U.S.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the Florida lawmaker who sponsored that state's so-called Don't Say Gay bill is now facing federal charges. A federal grand jury today indicting Republican State Representative Joe Harding on charges of money laundering and wire fraud. He's accused of scheming COVID funds meant for small business loans, allegedly trying to obtain more than $150,000 in federal money. So far, no comment from Joe Harding. To the index tonight, in 81 years since Pearl Harbor, the surprise attack by Japan thrusting the U.S. into World War II. Survivors and other veterans, some more than 100 years old, gathering for a ceremony at Pearl Harbor today. At the White House, President Biden thanking World War II veterans for their service. Finally tonight here, Time Magazine revealing its Person of the Year. Tonight, Time Magazine naming President Zelensky and the people of Ukraine their Person of the Year for their spirit. We have seen it firsthand. What would you say to Americans, our viewers back home, to people all over the world? We've seen it in the U.S., the Ukrainian flag in people's front lawns. Americans have watched this war. They have followed it very closely.
I really appreciate for everybody from the United States, ordinary people who helped us, who supported us. It's very difficult to be alone. And we feel that we are not alone. And we feel that America is with us together in this war, even if Ukrainians are dying. Not Americans, but we feel that you are on the field with us. We feel it on this war field, battlefield.
Time Magazine writing of the strength of the people and their right.
You came all the way from Kharkiv.
Yeah.
We remember the mother, daughter, the son escaping as the rockets fell, their father staying behind to fight the Russians.
And the rocket just...
It's terrifying. And you tried to stay as long as you could?
My father is still in Ukraine because he can't leave his country.
And the theater just over the border in Poland, where refugees now stay. The 15-year-old boy, Theodore, eager to show us his basketball jersey, eager to go home.
It's hard to play basketball in a theater. Yeah, we'll get you back to basketball soon.
Thank you.
President Zelensky and the people of Ukraine honored tonight. I'm David Muir, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.